first, let's bow our heads a word of prayer one more time. Father, there is none like you. We hallow your great name. Our agenda is not important. Your agenda is everything. And it's for this reason, Lord, that we're going to pray this Wednesday as a church family. Because it's not our agenda that we ask you to bless, Lord. It is your agenda that we want to know. So, Father, we pray that you will give us grace and insight and show us, Lord, how it is that we ought to pray. Now, Lord, as we watch the Lord Jesus pray in our behalf and teach us to pray, teach us also about what it's like to be a child of God, a perfect child of God, and praying to the perfect parent. We admit, Lord, that we are not perfect parents. But Lord, we turn to you today in this great prayer to discover some principles about what it is to be a good parent and what it is to be a good child and how it is to follow you. So I pray, Father, that you will be glorified this day. Be with our people who are ill, those who are having surgery this week. God, we lift them to you. We ask, Father, for those who are traveling today and those who have to be out of town, we ask, Lord, that you will bless them. Thank you for our visitors. Thank you for our people. And thank you for the people that you have sent this way and that you've called each one of us to your work. In the Lord Jesus' name, we ask your blessing. Amen. Now, if you'll pull out the message notes out of the middle of your bulletin, that might help you. I always encourage people to follow in their Bibles, and I always encourage people to write if you find something that might be helpful to you. So this morning, Matthew chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. If you notice on your pullout sheet in the middle of your bulletin, there is an instruction on the back of that about how to pray Wednesday. So if you need some prompts or some helps, that might be helpful to you. God has called me to be a radically different parent. As a matter of fact, Jesus said it like this: you be different as I am different. This is the definition of godliness. I am not called to be opposite my neighbor or even better than my neighbor. God didn't call me for that. But I am called to be like Jesus, regardless of my neighbor. I am called to be different by heart love for God and heart love for my neighbor. And if there's one way I'm to be different in my neighborhood than other people in my neighborhood, it is that I owe more love than they. It says in the scripture in Hebrews chapter 2, in the verse you see on the screen, God, the one who made all things and for whose glory all things exist, wanted many people to be his children and share his glory. You see, many times in the Bible, it shows us that God is our Father, the perfect parent. And that's why we're pulling this verse out for parenting. So he did not need to do. He made perfect the one who leads those people to salvation. He made Jesus a perfect Savior through his suffering. Jesus, the one who makes people holy, in other words, different, and those who are made holy are from the same family. So he is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. So I go on to say, in the same train of thought, my older brother's name is Jesus, according to this passage. And he is teaching me how to pray from Matthew chapter 6. And he's also teaching me some things about parenting. Jesus kneels down to the Father, our common parent, his parent and our parent. And he asks for what we should ask for. And in this we learn how to be God's children rightly. And he teaches us how to be godly parents by our Father's model of parenting. Now, in this section of brief prayer, Jesus makes three requests that every parent should know and every parent should practice. There are three here that Jesus recognizes from the Father. Three gifts. Number one, give us this day our daily bread. That's the first one. The second one is forgiveness. Forgive us our debts. He's talking about sins there, but forgive us our debts. And thirdly, teach us how to forgive others. Three gifts that you can give to your children, and I hope that you do give your children. And these are daily gifts, our daily bread. This is something we do constantly as parents. The first parental gift that our Heavenly Father supplies to us, and we in turn supply to our children, and that is giving basic life-sustaining needs. Any person who does not do this, by the way, if you do not take care of your children, if you do not take care of their basic human needs, then the scripture says that you're worse than an infidel. Wow, those are strong words. And so Jesus prays for this from his Father. And does his Father supply this? Absolutely. Every day, all the time. And so it is our responsibility as parents to do so as well. Give us this day our daily bread. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, if anyone, isn't this strong words? If anyone does not provide for his own this daily bread, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and he is worse than an unbeliever. So parents, your first responsibility that you should be giving your children, the gift that you give them, are their basic physical needs. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You can count on Daddy in heaven, who Jesus called Abba, Father. Parents, let us teach our children the difference between need and want. One of the greatest lessons that you can teach your children in all of life is the ability to discern between what they need and what they want. We live in a culture where people have lost that ability to know the difference between what I need and what I want. And many times we've fallen into the habit ourselves, even as believers, if we see something we want, we call it a need. Say, oh, I need a new car. When we don't need a new car, but we'd like to have a new car, but we start calling it a need. And because we live in a consumer society, this is very common. But you notice that Jesus, when he prays, he said, when you pray, pray for daily bread. What is daily bread? It is that which sustains life. Parents, what are you responsible for every day with your children? It is your responsibility to supply the needs for food, shelter, and clothing. Those are called needs. And anything outside of that are called wants. Now, is it wrong to have other wants? No. But your responsibility is for needs. Now, it's very important, I believe, that as you raise your children, that you point out the difference between wants and needs. And have this discussion at home. Because remember, it says in the Bible when you're supposed to teach your children. Do you know when you're supposed to teach your children? When you rise up in the morning. When you sit down at breakfast. When you go by the way. When you sit by the gate. When you gather for supper. All these times, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, these are all times that you teach your children. In other words, you teach your children all day long. Now, we have devices that keep us from that responsibility, where we can assign them to other attention-getting things. But the Bible says we have a lot of responsibility to teach our children. And we should be teaching our children constantly. And what do they need to know? Well, one of the problems that we have in our culture is that we have the idea, and I'm guilty of this, we have the idea that when your children grow up and they turn 18, they're just going to kind of know everything. You know, they went to school. You know, they've been socialized. And so they have everything they need. That is a fallacy. That is not true. Our children need our teaching. They need for us to tell them the difference between right and wrong, need and want. And I tell you, your children do not know the difference between those things automatically. They have to be taught, just like we have to be taught. So parents, let's teach our children the difference between need and want so that we will save our children from a life of indebted enslavement. Bread represents a need that is required to sustain life. And parents are to provide those most basic needs. Now, it says in the scripture that godliness with contentment, you know this verse in Timothy? Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. It is great gain. If you teach these two things to your children, godliness and contentment, at the same time, you've taught them a tremendous lesson. It says in the Bible, godliness with contentment is great gain. It is one of the greatest education lessons in life, according to the Word of God. How to be content with basic needs is a virtue of Jesus. Do you think Jesus was content on the earth? How many of you think he was content? Oh, he was. He was totally content. Now, do you think Jesus called up and got a MyPillow for his travels? No, he didn't. Where did Jesus lay his head? What did he say? He used stones. He considered that a basic need. And when he did that, he was content. Wow, you think about that. A stone for a pillow, a basic need by which I'm content? Well, yes, if you're Christ-like, you can do that. But you see, we live in a culture where we have to have a lot, and we don't know the difference between want and need. As little children depend on their parents, and we are God's little children, according to John, we are more dependent on our Father than we realize that we are. He is dependable, and you can count on God. He will meet every need that you have. When Jesus taught that prayer, "Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Father, give us what we need every day." You notice it was not for next month. It was not for next year. It was for today. That lesson is taught clear back in the Old Testament, where God gave them, they didn't earn it or deserve it. God gave them, God supplied the children of Israel what? From the heavens. Manna, bread. And how long was it good? Could you save it up for next week? No, it would turn rancid. And God said, make sure you don't save it. And he was teaching this New Testament principle way back there. God will take care of your needs every day. And he used bread to demonstrate that to the children of Israel. And you can depend upon God. Now, good parents teach their children to practice goodness by cultivating thankful hearts. I hope your children often come to you and thank you. But you know, children have to learn to thank. Because it's in human nature just to assume that you get things. Isn't that human nature just to assume that? And so it's very important for us to teach our children to be thankful, to point out that God gave us this. And we should not assume that we're just due it. We live in a culture where people are just owed things, have rights to things. No, God our Father gives us things. And the things that we absolutely need and we're dependent upon the Father for, we assume and we don't even think about. What are the things that the Father gives us you don't even think about that you have to live? Yeah, you have to have food. God gives that to you. Air to breathe. I mean, how many of you generated your own air before you came today? Yeah, God gives you. And the same thing with water and time and space and all the things that go with time and space and all the things that go with that. God supplies all these things and they're our needs. Now, I'm asking you if you're teaching your children to be thankful for basic supplies by being openly thankful yourself. Do you pray at your meal and say, God, thank you for all the things that you've given us today? All these things came from your hand, Lord, and nothing did I deserve, but you have given, supplied all these things. Your children can learn by your attitude of thanksgiving. Now, there's a second thing that Jesus asked for in this prayer that teaches about parenting. And the second life-sustaining gift that our Father gives us is forgiveness. Forgive us our debts, he prays. You can't assume forgiveness. As a matter of fact, God has supplied the means by which you are forgiven and I'm forgiven, but there's something that has to happen. What has to happen in order for me to receive the benefit of forgiveness? What is it? Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your hand and open your heart and receive what God has given you because he paid the total sin debt. Forgive us our debts. This is another thing we have to teach our children. They don't just get it. It doesn't just come in the package. It doesn't dawn upon them one day. It is your responsibility and is my responsibility to teach about forgiveness. Forgiveness is the removal of a just debt. And that's why he uses the word debt. Now, I'm talking about relational debt and injury. Demanding blow for blow, an eye for an eye, is called justice. Forgiveness saves a blow to an eye, and it pays for the offender's debt to set him free from any obligation. We practice grace rather than demanding retribution. We say that we live in an age of grace. God has always been gracious, but we especially know about grace in this age. Jesus, the just, which is one of his names, by the way, practiced both grace and truth. No life is successful that does not know and practice the grace of forgiveness. No life is successful that does not practice that wonderful grace of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a spiritual need that is more important to us than even the material needs that we have. Because everyone needs forgiveness. And no one is exempt. What am I saying here? The second thing, parents, that you must teach your children is how to open their hands and receive grace. Receive forgiveness. I know that many teach that you need to be a good person to go to heaven. You know that your good works need to outweigh your bad works, and if they do tilt toward the good, then you get to go to heaven. This the Bible does not teach. The Bible very clearly teaches, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. Forgiveness is based upon Jesus' payment for all those sins, not my payment for the sins, his payment. And this is known as grace. We must teach our children how to receive forgiveness because it's the most important gift that you can give your children, is how to receive forgiveness. Because this is true. I want to explore the phenomenon of forgiveness just a little bit more because it's so important. First of all, to forgive means to give for. Just turn the word around. If someone violates you, justice demands that person to be in debt to you. If you pay that debt for the offender, then you have forgiven that person. One of the things that is very important about a family is forgiveness has to happen all the time, because we offend one another all the time. Times that we mean to and times that we don't mean to. Times when we're just being insensitive. And in the church, we offend one another all the time. And it's very important to be able to learn to utter magic words. Are you ready for some magic words? They're very important. Number one, I was wrong. Paulette, have I ever told you I was wrong? Yes, she has. She's heard me say that. Cal, have you ever heard me say I was wrong?
Yes.
They're magic words. They're very important. They need to be said often because many times we don't mean to, but we offend one another. One time, Cal was up here singing. His mic was too loud. I was back there and I said, Cal, your mic's too loud. There were other people in. I never thought about it being embarrassing. I was just, you know, we were practicing together. Wow, I came under such conviction about that. The next day I thought about that. I wouldn't want someone to say that to me in front of everybody. Why did I do that? It was so insensitive. You know what I had to do? I had to go to Ron and say, Ron, I was wrong. I shouldn't have been so lazy. I should have got my butt out of that chair back there and walked up to you and said, Cal, I don't know if you know it or not, but your microphone's turned way up. I didn't mean to be offensive, but the fact was I was wrong. And we have to say those words a lot. Let's practice. Are you ready? I know this is hard. Just sit up real straight. I was wrong. Yeah, and you can really say those words, and it won't kill you. Yeah, it won't kill you because it's part of practicing forgiveness. Teaching your children about forgiveness is absolutely vital to their survival. Do you want your children to succeed in relationships? Do you want your church to be healthy and strong? You see, what most people do is they offend one another and then they excuse themselves or ignore it or play like it didn't happen. Doesn't the scripture say that we ought to confess our sins to one another? Does it not say that? And we certainly should be practicing that in our household. Forgiving and receiving forgiveness is absolutely important. Now, I want you to notice this. Forgiveness is not complete until the forgiveness is made unretrievable. Now, what do I mean by that? Forgiveness is not complete until the forgiveness is made irretrievable. Carolyn, will you forgive me? Yeah, you've known how I messed up, haven't you? See, some people have been around a while, and they know me, and so they've had to forgive me. In order. You're too eager. What do I mean by irretrievable? If you offer forgiveness that is genuine and scriptural forgiveness, then you never go back in history and pick it up and bring it back. If you do, it's not real forgiveness. Jesus never does that. Never. What does the next slide say about that? The next slide says this. Notice what it says. He has removed our sins as far as what? The east is from the west. Well, how far is the east from the west? It's so far you can't go get it. That's how far it is. It's irretrievable. Do you teach this to your children, or do you just think they'll get it? They're not going to just get it. You really have to explicitly teach these things to your children. If you pay the debt for the offender, then you've forgiven him. If you are not willing to pay the debt for the offender, then you haven't forgiven them. Now, you might have said other magic words that other people other than Jesus says, like you might have made them say, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, is that forgiveness? That's not biblical forgiveness. I'm not saying it's wrong. It might be part of the steps toward forgiveness, to having a heart that is genuinely sorry. Yeah, that's part of forgiveness. But saying I'm sorry is not forgiveness. Forgiveness has this. It says, I'm wrong in what I did. I owe you. Will you pay it for me? You see, that's what Jesus did for you. He paid your sin debt. He paid it all. And he never brings it back up. Never. What's the next verse say on the slide? Look at this. Micah 7:19. It says this. You will again have compassion on us, and you will, what's that say? Our sins, you will tread our sins underfoot, and will hurl all our iniquities into the depth of the sea. How deep is the deepest sea? The Mariana Trench, how deep is it? 7 miles, I've read. How many of you can go 7 miles underwater to go? You see what he's saying? It's not retrievable. If you forgive someone, you never bring it up again. Now, what if I fail and I do bring it up again? Oh, I just committed a fresh sin. That's what happened. And I'm doing something very destructive to relationship. When I owe you and you cancel the debt permanently, that's forgiveness. Now, that's a lot of teaching. And that teaching that I just told you has lots of parts to it. And you have to teach all those parts to your children in order for them to begin to understand what it is. And then you can go to the next step, go to the next grade, and start practicing forgiveness. Because we all need it. First of all, you teach your children to accept forgiveness. It's free. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't boast about getting it. You don't say, there you are. You're lucky, God, you get to forgive me. That's not appreciation of grace. That's not an understanding of debt payment. No, we say, thank you, God. It is not just that we receive forgiveness either, but we have to learn to give forgiveness. Now, these are the two things that Jesus prays for. He says, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, the things that we have to survive, our needs, not our wants, our needs, because that's what God promised you, your needs. He will give you all your needs according to his riches in glory, it says in Scripture. It doesn't say wants. It says needs according to his riches in glory. So first gift that you have to teach your children and give your children is their physical sustained needs. Secondly, you have to teach them how to receive forgiveness. And you can't receive forgiveness till you understand what it is. And you have to know that you have a debt and that you've committed wrong and those kind of things. That's very important. The third great gift that godly parents give is teaching children to forgive others. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. There's lesson three. Learning to forgive other people their debts. You see, that's what a great parent does. That's what our Abba Father does. You will set your children on a life course of Christ-likeness if you teach them lifestyle forgiveness. This is something we practice all day, every day. Lifestyle forgiveness. And just as our bread is a daily dependence, and our receipt of forgiveness from God is a daily dependence, so too our forgiving of others is a continual practice in Christ. We forgive others by keeping short accounts of offenses. We don't ignore others' offenses toward us. We pay for them quickly. What happens if you offend someone? You know you offend them and you're going to get to that pretty soon. You're going to take care of that. What happens when a day goes by and 2 days go by and 3 days go by and 4 days go by? What happens? We forget the historical detail. We don't forget the emotional. It gets stored back in there and we wonder why things aren't quite right. There's this emotional block. We wonder, why are they not close to me today? We were so close before. We respected one another and we showed our respect to one another. What happened? Well, what happened is you didn't take care of things on a short account. Because, you see, we forget historical what caused the argument, what caused the offense, what caused the hurt. And then after a while, we feel kind of justified in it. After all, we ate it. They can eat it too. That's not forgiveness, and that's not healthy. So we forgive others by keeping short account of our offenses, and we don't ignore offenses toward us. We pay for them quickly. And when we forgive, we do not forget. We do not forget. Forgiveness is not amnesia. You get hurt, you don't forget. But here's what you do do. You never bring it up again. You bear the pain. It's your cross that you decided you would pay for. Now, if someone is holding your past sin over your head, they do not understand what Jesus is teaching. If you're doing that, you don't understand what Jesus is teaching. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, and then teach us how to forgive other people. This is the essence of our church life. Everybody in here messes up. There are no exemptions. That includes you, Roger. I know you're a nice guy, but that includes you too. Yeah. And includes me. Yeah, and we could go around to every person here. And every one of us, if we spend enough time together, we're going to say things that are insensitive or things we shouldn't say or do things we shouldn't do. We need to learn to say, I was wrong. Now, we won't forget about it. We won't get amnesia. But we never have to bring it up again if we say those magic words, I forgive you. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. You just think about that. And he threw our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Now, let's make this practical. Okay, here we go for the close. Number one, teach your kids the difference between want and need. How many of you are willing to do that? Will you try it? Try doing that. Try helping them to see the difference between wants and needs. And make sure that you supply all their basic needs. That's your responsibility. If you don't do it, you're worse than an unbeliever. Doing this will make you a godly parent. My question to you in regard to this is, do you model contentment or do you complain about what you don't have? So the first thing is our needs. The second thing that we need to practice is show your children how to hold out empty hands in order to be forgiven. Learn to let other people forgive you, especially God, in the route to spiritual freedom. Do you show how God forgives you by confessing your sin in front of your kids? In front of your spouse? It's a really healthy thing to do. I want you to think about that for a moment. Think about, imagine that in your mind. Saying a prayer of confession in front of other people. This is something that should be very common among us. But in fact, it's very rare among us. And why is that? Well, pride gets in the way. Learn to say the magic words, "I was wrong." If you don't accomplish anything from what you learn from this passage, learn to practice that one thing, those three magic words, "I was wrong." Look for the opportunity to say those magic words. And then thirdly, I would say this, look for and practice the grace of forgiving other people when they violate you. When your children, help your children to forgive quickly so they won't lose the opportunity to give grace to other people. This keeps the attitude clean and the conscience clear. The words, "You were wrong," are also important. Sometimes it takes a lot of courage. Now remember how the Bible says to do that. The Bible says you should go to people and tell them they were wrong. But how should you do it? Humbly? Privately? For the purpose of reconciling your relationship. I know I should only tell you, brother, but I mean, everybody's here, so we might as well just tell everybody. Now, that's not what the Bible says. Go privately to your brother or sister and win them. Be winsome. Now, like Jesus, let us practice and teach the Lord's Prayer so that we can receive love and so that we can give love. Practice daily forgiveness. Practice lifestyle forgiveness. Name the offense. Be courageous. Be loving enough to talk about wrongs. And don't ignore at least a social bitterness. Don't let a social bitterness grow up in you. Take care of things. Think about right now, how does God want you to change right now? God wants you to do something that you were not thinking about doing when you sat down here today. Between you and Jesus right now, think about, what does God want you to do that you haven't been doing? Paulette, will you lead us?
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turned His face away, as wounds which mar sons to glory.
Michelle, you have an announcement? We'll pray for that.
Amen.
Hey, I have a prayer of thanksgiving. You should have seen this weekend these boys from Trail Life having a camp in this room. It was great. Thanks, Tom, and all your people. It was great. We appreciate that. All right. God bless you. You're dismissed. Make sure you pray for one another and forgive one another.